Welcome to the Transom Podcast, a monthly roundup of the new features on the transom.org website, providing mathematical puzzles, games, learning activities, and the ever-popular mathematics lesson starter of the day. Here's your host, John Tranter.
Hello, and welcome to 5 Cubed. Yes, this is episode number 125 for the month of April 2025. And as you know, the first day of April is April Fool's Day. Have you been caught out yet? Let me know if your pupils were fooled by the maths lesson starter for the 1st of April called 1 out of 10, which is not what it seems. Anyway, let's crack on, as usual, with the puzzle of the month.
I paid £3.60 for the mini Easter eggs I bought from the corner shop. The shop owner added two extra eggs because the best before date was rapidly approaching. That brought the total cost down by 30 pence per dozen compared to the original price. How many eggs did I buy?
That's the Transom puzzle for this month. The challenge is set. Have a think. Make a plan.
So, how many eggs were bought? If you get an answer, I'd love to hear how you solved it or how your student solved it. Drop me an email at podcast@transom.org. The answer and credit for the inspiration for this puzzle will be in next month's podcast. While you think about it, here are some of the key resources added to the Transom website during this last month. Okay, we'll start with statistics supplied, and it's another one of those exercises that turns around the normal question format. There are three levels requiring pupils to come up with three, four, or five numbered sets that obey the information given about the mean, median, mode, and range. The exercises provide a great opportunity to deepen understanding and develop problem-solving strategies. So the links to all of the activities I talk about in this podcast can be found in the newsletter, transom.org/newsletter. Prime Prevention, another new activity, has a two-player mode, but what I found really interesting is the one-player challenge. You have to arrange the available digits in the cells so that no line of three cells form a prime number. I tried the challenge myself using my knowledge of the divisibility tests, and again there's a link in the newsletter to divisibility tests, and I found myself, well, really engrossed in the task. So I highly recommend the challenge to you teachers before unleashing it on your pupils.
The text version of this podcast can be found at transom.org/newsletter.
Division Master is a new activity to provide fast recall of times tables facts. If, however, you need a similar quick response division activity that focuses on just one times table at a time, try Quotient Master. And both of these activities can be used alongside the really popular activity called Tables Master. Doon Ow is the strangest title for a new starter that I've ever come up with, but it's pronounced Do Now. You see what I did there? Anyway, the projectable page contains a timer and five questions that can be changed by the teacher to suit your class. Now, those of you that use refreshing revision will notice that it uses the same question bank, but the presentation is different. And the latter starter, refreshing revision, is still the most customizable activity on the whole of the Transom website. All right, so we're heading into April. Special dates in April, of course, the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, and there's that starter. On the 18th of April, it's World Heritage Day, which is my excuse to highlight the history of maths and there's a page for that with lots of ideas. Then on the 20th of April, it's Easter Sunday, so lots of Easter-themed activities for this time of year are available. And again, the links are in the newsletter. Now, in many UK schools and in the UK system, it's the norm for pupils to use pens when writing in maths lessons. So that's what I've always been used to. But is there an argument for using pencils more frequently rather than pens?
In many UK secondary schools, the norm is for students to write most of their classwork in pen, including maths. This practice is partly to ensure neatness and discourage excessive erasing. And indeed, in GCSE exams, students are expected to use pens. Nevertheless, pencils are still used for diagrams and any work where erasing is beneficial.
In contrast, students in the U.S. more commonly use pencils for their maths work, largely because erasing is considered a natural step in problem solving. Standardized tests in the U.S. often require pencil use, reinforcing this habit. Despite these general trends, practices can vary significantly, even within the same school.
So pens or pencils, what do you do? Interesting. Now, I'm currently in Bangkok, Thailand, you may know that, and you've probably heard about the devastating earthquake in neighbouring Myanmar on Friday, which shook the Thai capital where I am. It woke me from my early afternoon nap, but luckily I only suffered cracked bathroom tiles. But my heartfelt condolences go out to the hundreds who were not so fortunate and their families. Yeah, a really horrible event. The earthquake was reported to have a magnitude of 7.7. Now, do you know what that means? Well, the Richter scale uses common logarithms to make measurements manageable. So, a magnitude of 3 is equivalent to a factor of 10 to the power 3, while a magnitude of 5 is a factor of 10 to the power 5, meaning its seismometer readings are 100 times larger. And in terms of energy released, each whole number on the Richter scale corresponds to an increase of roughly 32 times the amount of energy. And incidentally, each increase of 0.2 on the Richter scale corresponds approximately to a doubling of the amount of energy. And the reason I mention this is because I've only just sort of learnt this, and it is an example of a real-life exponential growth situation. So I think it's well worth mentioning in maths lessons when you're looking at sequences. It's a good real-life example to get a feel for. Finally, the answer to last month's puzzle, which was...
Adil Adgood, a hard-working student, has earned a number of trophies in the last month. She wants to share them among her three younger brothers, according to these fractions of the total. The eldest brother receives half of them, the middle brother one-third of them, the youngest brother one-eighth of them. At first glance, it seems impossible to divide the number of trophies she has exactly into halves, thirds, and eighths. Then someone suggests borrowing one extra trophy from a friend, temporarily increasing the number of trophies Adele has. Now the given fractions are possible, and there will be one trophy left over, which can be returned to the friend. How many trophies did Adele initially have?
And the answer is 23. And for the first time this month, I actually received an audio version of a solution from someone who listens to the podcast. So thanks very much to Rick, and this is what he said.
This is Rick Blair from the state of New Hampshire in the United States with my answer to the March 2025 puzzle of the month. The first number that is divisible by the fractions, one half, one third, and one eighth, is 24. Half of 24 is 12. One third of 24 is 8. and 1/8 of 24 is 3. Adding these together gives the number 23, which is one less than 24. So Adel must have started with 23 trophies.
The first five people to respond with an answer to the puzzle were Kevin, Alan, Nick, Marla, and Rick. Thank everybody who took part. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate you getting involved. And some solutions can be seen in the newsletter online. So that's all for now. Apart from to say, I want you to know that I, for one, like Roman numerals.
Thank you for downloading and listening to the Transum podcast. You can find the website at www.transum.org, where you're welcome to use all of the activities absolutely free, or jump in with both feet and become a Transum subscriber.